2 a.m. on a typical Thursday night back in 84. My boyfriend and me were having two number 12 specials at Poncho's, a cheap, greasy Mexican joint in Santa Monica. Bill was asking me what I thought of his new rap tune. I thought the whole rap thing was stupid and had no future. Tells you what the hell I knew. I was half finished when a bum shuffled in. He walked with a dramatic limp, kind of reminded me of Boris Karloff in that movie The Mummy. It must have been months since this guy had bathed or changed his clothes. His whole left side was caked with layers of crud, a concoction of mud, garbage can slime, vomit, and fecal matter. Needless to say, he didn't smell too good. He looked around thoughtfully, deliberating on the available seats, then took the booth right next to ours. His proximity enveloped me in a blanket of pure revulsion. So much for finishing my burrito. And yet, like a moth drawn to a flame, I couldn't stop myself from staring at him as he sat silently gazing off into oblivion. Bill had just finished performing for me his latest rap, poem, whatever, and was sullen by my lack of enthusiasm over his work. So, desperate for a more responsive audience, he decided to recite his masterpiece to the stinking, spazzing, incontinent bum. All I could do was just sit there and stare at my Mexican food remains while listening peripherally, waiting for that one memorable line. And then I spilled my beer. I spilled it in my ear. After this Oscar-winning performance, there must have been about a minute of dead silence. But then an odd thing happened. The bum, who thus far hadn't uttered even so much as a nod of acknowledgement, suddenly asked in a surprisingly articulate manner if he could have a look at the piece. I witnessed him casually glance over the document. His eyes were no longer glazed and vacant, but appeared as repositories of wisdom. He sized Bill up, cleared his throat, and uttered, "Not bad." It was the kind of not bad a college professor uses just before he segues into all the reasons why something really is bad. "Your ambient pentameter is inconsistent," he mumbled while suppressing a cough. "If done well, it can be effective. But in this case, it's just rhythmically awkward. The phrases don't appear to punctuate or illustrate any points or words of significance. Also, you have past, present, and future tenses all in the same stanza, but with no logical transition. It's unclear as to who exactly the protagonist is. You have we, you, and I randomly interspersed. If you want to make an effective statement, it would be better to pick one tense and one character. The poem shows you have imagination and ambition, but not much training or discipline. All in all, not a bad start." When a burst of cold air hit the back of my throat, I realized my jaw had hit the floor. Okay, well, actually, the restaurant door flung itself open and a new batch of customers waddled in. They glanced around the room and gave our trio a disapproving stare. I knew what they were thinking. The crud, the odor, the spasms. Oh my God, Bill and I had plummeted to the same social hierarchy as this bum. We were guilty by association. Well, screw you. I returned their disapproving stares with a look of disdain. This was your typical party of late night supercuts, Dockers, J. Crew catalog sweaters on a belly-stuffing binge after a night of Coronas and wine coolers. Believe me, I've been there. They couldn't analyze a poem if they meant losing their condos. Suddenly, I felt camaraderie, empathy, even respect for this chemically dependent, financially challenged, homeless individual. He was real man, okay? I mean, he wasn't pretending. He wasn't trying to prove anything. He was unencumbered, unattached, living with no possessions to fetter him from his actual self. This man was a modern-day sage. I began to romanticize the free spirit lifestyle of someone who had absolutely nothing to lose. No wants, no obligations, just free to roam, free to analyze the world, free to just hop aboard that freight train and go where the tracks may lead. My daydream is suddenly interrupted by inarticulate shouting, okay? Like the guy behind the counter is like running around like a mad dog in heat, barking profanities at this poor bum just because, okay, yes, he's digging through the garbage. Of course, Bill is still freaking out over his rap poem, but I grab the remains of my number 12 special, and Bill and I escort this bum out of Poncho's. We just sat parking divider outside, watching this bum hastily consume my burrito fragments. Bill asked him about himself. Apparently, this seeming waste of human life had once been an investigative journalist, okay, a syndicated columnist, a playwright, and a professor of English Lit at UC Berkeley. All Bill and I could do was sit in bewildered silence, as if recovering from a blow to the back of the head. We had to evaluate our own goals and accomplishments. I mean, any one of this man's achievements was worthy of our respect and was far and above and beyond anything we'd ever accomplished. My romantic notions of living the life of Kwai Cheng Kane burst like a balloon. I had to ask myself the question, if someone with this man's credentials could end up on Skid Row, then couldn't anyone? But then it hit me. This man's suffering could be the key to unlock the mysteries of the universe. He would know firsthand the exact things that really matter in life, man, okay? I mean, the things that, if left undone, begin to fester and rot away at our social, economic, and moral existence. The things that this man had done wrong could provide the enlightened insights anyone could ever ask for. He was a living gold mine. My thoughts rushed along the torrents of my stream of consciousness. I stared heavenward with my mouth agape. Apparently, I had fixated on a street lamp, and when I squinted, a cool mist from the Santa Monica marine layer caused an urban halo of incandescence to appear around the bulb. For the first time in my crazy life, I felt truly liberated. Excited, I snapped out of my daze and turned to ask the bum more questions.